Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. I have my little elf lighting the candles today. He's a big elf. He's a tall elf. He's a jack of all trades is what he is. Yes, thank you, Grant, for doing that. He is Hosanna. You know, we normally sing that at Easter. Usher in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But you know what? It's appropriate this time of the year. Because this is when it started. This is when God said, I'm going to send my word made flesh to the world. And he is the king that they haven't seen coming. He is the king, the Lord, the Messiah that they weren't expecting. He's coming in a different way. And I say, Hosanna. You with me? Hosanna. I am grateful today. I hope you are grateful. We just came out of a Thanksgiving season. Well, we're still in it, really. We are, aren't we? We're in it. Oh, we got, I'm sorry, Carol. Carol said, well, I'm glad you walked and Brian's helped me out there. We got children that are going to go worship. You know, go ahead, girls, go ahead. Who is here is going to go with Miss Carol? Is Darius back there? Good. Oh, I am so sorry. I usually write it at the top of my notes. Don't forget to dismiss the children to splash. But I didn't do that today, so I'm glad I have reminders out there. Thank you so much. Y'all enjoy your time with Miss Carol. We love you. All right. I am grateful for Miss Carol. That's the other person I'm grateful for. She has done what we can't do, that we didn't have enough eyes or hands or feet or mind to do. She has gone over and above taking care of the families of those children and those children. It's just been amazing. I'm so thankful for her for doing what she's doing, what God's called her to do. But I'm also grateful for some other things, and I hope you are too. One of the things I'm not grateful for is that I had to cancel really most of my vacation last week. I didn't get to go up and travel like I wanted to travel and see family and see friends in the great state of Ohio. Go Buckeyes. But there is something that came out of it that I was really thankful for, that we did get to go up on last Friday and got to go home on Sunday, but I got to bring my mom home with us. And yeah, I'm grateful for that. But what I'm really grateful for about that is this is the first time since I was in college all those years ago, and I won't say how many, that we're going to be together for my birthday and Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So I'm pretty excited about that, to be with my mom since college. And that's how I framed it for, is like, we're going to get to be together, but really what I wanted to do is come down and cook. That's what I really wanted her to do. No, I'm just kidding. Although she is fixing some of my favorite things from growing up, and I'm excited about that too. Although my stomach isn't. It's a lot of sugar, a lot of stuff. Anyway, I will be hitting the gym after the first of the year for sure. I digress. I want to refer just for a moment about the last 2 weeks, because speaking of gratitude, it's just a preface to this season. It really is. The messages that Grant and myself brought to you from God's Word were about giving gratitude to who deserves it first and deserves it most, but also even and especially in the times when it's most difficult, when Scripture tells us to be thankful in all circumstances, right? Now, one of the things we need to think about is that there's one word in there that qualifies that. The word in all circumstances. It doesn't say that we necessarily have to be thankful for all circumstances, but while we have them, that we have a lot to be thankful for while we go through them, because God's got purpose, right? But you know what? That purpose can elude us. That purpose can fade away in light of busyness. Let's just say that for a moment we gave in to the hype, the bitterness, the complaining, the woe is me attitude. Let's just say that we did that and we forgot about gratitude. It's December. It's the month and a year that we await the advent of Christ. Hosanna, usher him in for why he came. This is the beginning of anticipating the arrival of Christ into this world. Some of the liturgy surrounding the Advent season is lighting a candle for every Sunday as reminders of hope and peace and joy and love, those things that Christ brought with him when he came into this world, that he planned on sharing, manifesting them from God's heart to ours. And so one of the liturgies is lighting candles. You know, it's usually a candle a Sunday, but I opted to do something different this year. I wanted to do all of the candles every Sunday. And the last candle, what they call the Christ candle, the white one, will light on Christmas Eve. But Advent isn't just about lighting candles, people. It's not about just lighting candles on Sunday morning and speaking about all those things. You see, lighting a candle doesn't mean a whole lot to me or you or to our kids if we don't talk about the hope, if we don't contemplate the joy, if we don't celebrate the peace, and if we don't commemorate the love. Reading beautiful scriptures of God's promises and love for us doesn't mean a whole lot if it stays inside the church walls and never makes it to our dinner tables, to our car rides home, to our community events, and to our jobs. He didn't bring it for it just to stay right here. He brought it so we would share it. Singing a few worship songs about Christmas won't impact our lives until we consider the words and use them to praise God on our recliner at home as much as we do in these four walls. The reality is, if we are doing something at church and not doing the same thing the rest of the week, we're compartmentalizing our faith to a place or a gathering or a building instead of incorporating our faith into transformed lives. You see, your life is to be transformed. It's to move from here to there. It's where you are right now. Tomorrow you need to be someplace different in your faith. It's to grow. It's to transform. And through that transformation, other people will come to know Christ because your testimony will bear witness to them. But the danger any year, especially this year, is that our focus will not be in the right place and we will miss Christmas. That's the fear this year, especially this year with what all we've gone through the last several months. Because people's minds are on so many different things that they forget or they put on the back burner why Christ really came. Or they know, but they just haven't incorporated it into their thinking and their actions and their words in this time of the year. Today we begin a 3-week message series leading us to Christmas Eve, where we will celebrate the arrival of Christ, the advent of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In these messages, we will be reminded how easy it is to miss Christmas. We will look at some characters surrounding the story of the birth of Christ and see how and why they missed Christmas, or really, how they missed Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we love you. Open our hearts. Father, that's our part. Let us throw down anything that's entangling us right now so that we can focus on your word. God, your very word. And let it transform. May it not return void, God. May it do what it sets out to do. Change us from the inside out, God. Father, help us to be reminded daily of this time of the year. But not just this time of the year. This is just a catapult into next year. To remember always why Jesus came and what he brought with him and how it's so easy to miss Christmas. May we be so much more intentional this year. And we need your help, Holy Spirit, to do that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, turn to your Bibles or look on the screen or your Bible apps to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start there. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. You'll recognize these words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered in each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I want to focus on those last few words just for a moment. There was no place for them in the inn. That's what Scripture tells us. There was no place for them in the inn. Not a corner, not the corner of a bedroom, not a little cot to put in another room, not anything. There was no place for them in the inn. This small sentence contains a big message. Joseph and Mary tried to get into the inn. That's what we assume, because there was no room. So they tried. But they weren't afforded a normal room. Instead, they were left to reside in a stable or a small cave. Mary's condition must have been very obvious, right? I mean, she was about to give birth. Most women who are about to give birth are pretty much showing, right? All right. Instead, they were left to fend for themselves, so to speak. It leaves us to speculate what was going on in this innkeeper's mind. And I don't know if you've ever talked about it, but it gave me some real thinking time about this innkeeper. Who was he to reject the King of Kings and the Son, the mother of the Savior of the world? Maybe his or her sense of compassion was overshadowed by the distraction of making money. It wouldn't be good for business to have a woman giving birth in close quarters with other paying guests. Maybe he was shorthanded that night. Maybe a couple of employees had called in sick and he was handling far too much for one person to handle. Maybe he was selective of who was going to stay in his inn. You know, whatever his motives, he missed out on a miraculous entrance of God into human form. The innkeeper was preoccupied. He was distracted. He was so busy about the temporal, about what his busyness was about, that he didn't see the eternal. He didn't see God right in front of him. You see, it was the census in Bethlehem. The city was literally bulging with everybody. Whoever had any ancestry there, and they were coming to the city. And since it was the city of David, those who were in line of David were there. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go back to where you were born to get registered? There'd be a lot of traveling going. And that's why Joseph and Mary were there coming from the line of David, one through Solomon and one through Nathan. So there they were. And the city was bursting with people, shoulder to shoulder people. And he was busy caring for his guest in his house or whatever the situation he was involved with. And he may not have been hostile or unloving. And he wasn't unsympathetic maybe. And he wasn't really indifferent. He was just busy. Preoccupied, distracted. I guess there are a lot of people like that, especially this time of the year. The chambers of their souls are filled with needless things, filled with human interest. They're filled with the stuff that doesn't matter, and they miss the Christ of God. The innkeeper missed Christmas. It was right in front of him, but he missed it. It was right in front of him. Let me just go back to verse 7. It's not going to be on your screen, but let me just read it for you. And she gave birth, Mary, to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So let's take these words at face value for a moment. We don't even know where Joseph was according to this verse. The nativity shows him there. Of course, we would hope that the father of this child was there. But if I know anything about fathers at the time of their births, of their children's birth, especially young fathers like Joseph, who was just a young man, he would have been little help at all at this time. And so the scripture tells us that she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son. Mary did. Middle Eastern people are hospitable people. Jewish people are kind and caring people. They were not barbaric people. These people were civilized, intelligent, educated people who understand about human life. These are not the kind of people who are going to leave a woman alone. Or are they? Mary brought forth her own son. And then it says she wrapped him in swaddling cloth. Mary did. Where were the midwives? Where were the people who were supposed to care for things like that, who sees a pregnant woman and she's about to give birth and they rush around trying to help her? No, they weren't there. Mary, according to Scripture, if we take it for face value, seemed to be alone in this. Yet she was not. God was with her. God was in her. But I go back to, where was the innkeeper? Didn't he know anybody who could help? Didn't his wife, if he had a wife, concern herself with this pregnant woman? Or was it there some source of assistance for Mary at all? But wait, after all, hadn't the prophets prophesied before that he would be despised and rejected? Of course he's going to come into the world alone. It leaves a lot to think about. And wouldn't it be true that this could be the case for Jesus' very birth? This is the way it was supposed to happen. It says that Mary laid him in a manger. An animal feeding trough is what it is. Swaddling cloth, by the way, were long strips of cloth that when an infant was born, immediately the infant was wrapped in. Its limbs, his or her, and its body in this swaddling cloth. And then, of course, in an outer blanket. That was the tradition, and certainly there would have been a midwife to clean the baby and do all that stuff, to tie off the umbilical cord and do all that stuff. But no, Mary did that. This was, as you look at it, if we take it for face value, it seemed to be a lonely birth, a humble birth. And by all means, with everybody around, an insignificant birth. But we know better, don't we? As followers of Christ, we know better. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be lighting candles. We wouldn't think about the advent of Christ at this time. They missed it, though. G. Campbell Morgan writes this about this particular scripture. Think of the pathos or the sadness of it. She brought forth. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. It is very beautiful, but oh, the pity of it, the tragedy of it, the loneliness of it, that in that hour of all hours when womanhood should be surrounded by the tenderest care, Mary was alone. The method of the writer is very distinct. She, with her own hands, wrapped the baby around with those swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. There was no one to do it for her, and again, I say the pity of it, and yet the glory of it to the heart of Mary. I would gather that Mary didn't think a thing about it. She didn't say, well, I've got a stable. I want a private room. I want a midwife, and I want the doctor at my beck and call. Now, Mary, when she accepted, Lord, do as you will with your humble servant, she was all in, no matter what it took. If that's the way the Lord of Lords had to come into the world, then that's what she was. She was God's servant. And like the innkeeper in the Nativity story, you and I can be preoccupied. We can be distracted by the pressures around us, by the things to do, and I believe more than any other year, there's a great chance we will miss Christmas. I hope that's not the case. I hope that these messages are reminders to look deeply in us, to look at our liturgy in our life, the things that we do in this season, and say, what can I not do? Or what else can I do to help me focus on why we're here? What can I lay down, like the remote from the channels, like the radio station, like the social media? What can I lay down so that my focus isn't distracted from the true meaning of Christmas, and that's Jesus? This year, especially with the election, the pandemic, the racial tensions, on top of any personal and trials and hardships in one's life, lends itself to distracting us all away from the true meaning of Christmas. And if we, now I want you to hear that, if we, if you and if I, because the devil don't make you do nothing, okay? Your friend, your spouse can't make you do those things. It's your choice. If we let it, it would be very easy to miss Christmas this year. And you know what? We probably need it more than we ever have. One of my staple Christmas movies, and I've mentioned these over the years, that I love Christmas movies. Hallmark Channel is on. When I turn it, it's set to that channel. All I have to speak, Hallmark Channel. It comes right up. Love it. Love it. Love to watch those. But there's other Christmas movies like Christmas with the Cranks. Anybody see it? Love that movie. It's great. The message of it is appropriate. They had talked about skipping Christmas. They did it in all their donations, all the decorations. Their daughter was away on a mission trip. And they said, this is the perfect. They save money? Wow, who doesn't want to save money, right? That's like, it was great, but then all of a sudden, Brooke's coming back home. Mama gets on board, but Daddy is not so on board. He says, no, I want a Caribbean cruise. That's what I want. And I'm mad, and he pouts, and he's pitiful. He really is, because he wanted to skip Christmas. If you haven't seen the movie, it's a really good movie, and it's fun to watch at Christmas time. When we get something inside of us, a desire, and it can be a good desire normally, but if it takes us away, if it distracts us, if it pulls us away and gets us preoccupied away from the true meaning of Christmas, then it's bad. It's wrong. Not as in sin wrong, but as in wrong if you let anything distract you from the true meaning, because we can incorporate these thoughts about Christmas into everyday life. This is God's Son. This is God's Word made flesh. This is His Word that we read every day. And it started here with Jesus coming into this world. How easily we can become distracted from all these things outside. We do a lot of shopping during this time of the year. Our time is demanded by 1,000 other things. Our possessions, we're so busy figuring out what we want, how to get it at the cheapest price, buying it, taking care of it, polishing it, storing it, keeping it up, wrapping it, putting it under the tree. And then, of course, the games we play. We've got to be playing this and playing that, and it takes up a lot of time. And those aren't wrong things. All of our pleasures and all of our passions and all of our parties and all of our preoccupation and all of our presents and all of this has become a part of the Christmas experience. But all of that can also take away from the true meaning, and we'll miss what Christmas is about. I mean, the innkeeper did. He was crowded out by a tyrant world that dictated to him what he will think and what he will do and how he will treat people. Is that so different from us? How we let a world determine what we think, excuse me, what we say, what we do this time of the year, when we know what Christ came to show us the way to do. You ever wonder why the angels announced the birth of Jesus first to the shepherds? According to human standards, the first to hear about the Messiah's birth was the shepherds. They were the least likely, if you were to think about it. Why didn't the angels make their announcement to some of the important religious leaders of Israel who could do something about it? Maybe it was because these individuals were distracted and busy by their political expectations. Kind of reminds us of this year to me. But we have to admit this. It was an ignorant preoccupation on the part of the innkeeper. He didn't know. Give him a little grace. He didn't know. I look at the world and that's what I see. They just don't know. This year they may miss Christmas again. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know who he is. They don't know why he came. But if we as followers of Christ get distracted, if we get preoccupied with the stuff that comes with the Christmas season that doesn't have anything to do with Christ, then how will they know? You see, you got a job. It's not just to put up your tree. It's not just to put the decorations up. It's not just to cook all the meals. It's not just to have all the parties. It's not just to buy all the presents and put them under the tree. Those things are good and should be celebrated with friends. But the reason that we do it should bring us back to Christ. The reason that we gather. And that should be not only an action, it's a perfect time to speak about it. Your testimony about Christ in your life and why you celebrate him. When you have your parties, when you have an opportunity to sit down and have a cup of coffee with someone and you say Merry Christmas, tell them why it's a Merry Christmas. Sheriff, say, do you know why we say Merry Christmas? Wow, what a great transition sentence. Do you know why we celebrate the birth of Christ? How will they know? How will they know why he came? How will they know how to choose Jesus? I want to read this scripture passage to you out of Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's a great question. And you know what? It's a rhetorical question. Because as a follower of Christ, when you read that, you know that that's you. And that's me. How will they know? Because God placed us in their life. How will they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Well, they're about to hear about him. Because I'm going to bear testimony in my life about Jesus and what he did for me. And why I celebrate him. And I'm the one that he chose to tell them about him and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide their heart to believe in him. Yeah, the innkeeper missed it. He was too busy. But I want us to look at our own lives. Have you let the busyness of the season already distract you? Are you already preoccupied? It's not too late, though. Because God, as we sang, is a way maker. And he's a promise keeper. Because he's the king of our hearts. That's what he said. He has a right. He has a right to us. We have claimed him as king of our heart. I want you to do something with me right now. We did this a couple weeks ago. But I want to read a scripture to you. I want you to close your eyes. Trust me. Just close your eyes. We're going to lead into communion here, but I want you to think right now. I want you to think about something that is a distraction for you right now. Or could potentially be a distraction coming up these next few weeks. And I want to pray for you about that right now. I want to read this scripture. And out of this time of prayer, I want us to understand why we take communion. Because the child, the God made flesh, God's word made flesh in human form, came as a child, a lonely birth, a humble birth to some humble parents. came in a way that wasn't expected, wouldn't have been chosen, but he came the way he needed to come. John 10, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, Jesus began laying down his life the moment he entered into this world. The moment he breathed the air that we breathe out of his mother's womb, out of Mary's womb, he knew the purpose that he had come for. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he lay in a manger. He came down to lay down his life for us. When we think of communion, we think about that because after his crucifixion, he was laid in a grave. He's the good shepherd. He knows us. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Father, I want to pray for us right now. I want to pray that we will take these words and remember, think about the distractions that are in our lives right now, God, and lay them down. Father, may they not interfere with why we celebrate this year. May they not interfere with speaking about hope, celebrating peace, extending love to someone, and celebrating in joy. That's what you came to bring, Jesus. Savior, Lord, King, our Messiah. You came to bring those things, and you walked them out. You showed us how to extend them, to be a good neighbor, to love people well, to help them find peace. Show them how to extend love and be joyful all the while we do it. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world to rescue us, to save us from ourselves. Help us, give us strength to lay down anything that is entangling us so that we may not only experience, but help others experience the true meaning as we await your arrival on Christmas Eve. We thank you. We thank you for coming, and we celebrate you right now as we remember why you came. Bless this communion now, the bread and the cup, your body and your blood, as we remember why you came and what you did. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.